Hey everybody, it's episode 347 of PodQuest.
Hey!
It's Wednesday, April 14th, 2021. I am Chris. With me is Druten.
Hello.
Walnut.
Hi.
How you fellas doing?
I'm doing alright.
I'm pretty good, I'm fine.
I mean, you were just bitching, so.
I mean, it's just a frustrating day at work, that's all.
Aren't they all? Aren't they all?
Yeah.
Ugh.
Yeah, it definitely is. It
doesn't help that the weather keeps fucking with us either.
No, that's the worst part. Like, 3 days ago it was 70, yesterday it was 40, like, next week it's going to be 20. Like, come on, I want to keep my windows open and not be freezing, and I refuse to turn my heater on anymore. So, I've just been suffering in the cold.
You're such like a 42-year-old dad from 1990.
You know, yes, I am. Look, it's... Why turn it on for, like, an hour throughout the day? You're either going to be under covers when it's that cold, or just put on a freaking pair of sweatpants and you're fine. Like,
no, I agree with you. I mean, our heat's been off for at least 2 weeks, I believe.
Psh, 2 weeks. Psh. I've had my heat off since the beginning of March.
Yeah, it was still in, like, the 30s in the beginning of March.
I might have actually turned it on for, like, a week at some point in March.
What do you keep your heat at, though?
At night, it drops down to 55, because everyone's under covers anyway. You don't need the heat on. And we're all upstairs. So from midnight till about 6, it's at 55. Then usually the highest it'll get to is like 64.
Jesus, you really are like a dad from the early 90s.
How often
do you yell at Jensen and Kwame for leaving the door open and refrigerating the neighborhood? Or air conditioning the neighborhood?
I've gotten mad at them for keeping a window open while the heater was on.
Do you yell at them if they're looking in the fridge for too long too?
No.
You're a sitcom. You're a sitcom dad.
You know what? I was raised on sitcoms, so sounds about right.
Jesus, man. Drew, how stingy are you with your heat and air conditioning?
Not at all.
Yeah, like you want to be comfortable. Like you own the house. You live in the house. Fucking be comfortable.
I mean, like, we don't set the heat that high or the AC that low.
Same here.
But, like it's just on auto. So it's not like it runs once it starts to get warm out. Like, the other day, the last 2 days, the heater is on. Like, the thermostat is on. But the house is warmer than the temperature is set to. So it's not like it's kicking on and
yes,
running.
Yes, exactly.
You know? See, if I still had mine on at 8 o'clock this morning, it was like 56 in the house. It would have kicked on for at least a half hour or so.
Yeah, you do have really shitty insulation in your house.
Yeah, it's that, and that's why. And like, I have a brand new system, and it still cost me $110 last month for heating and air for electric and gas.
That's still like that. Your bill was just $110.
Maybe a little bit more than that. I have to double check.
I mean, that's really not bad.
But usually on months where I don't have it on, it drops down to the minimum, which is like 70, which is what I prefer. I prefer to just have the minimum and not have to pay.
See, we pay 150 because we do the, like, the equal payment thing. So,
yeah, ours is around the same.
Yeah. So this way, like in December and January when it's fucking cold and the heat's running more often, I'm not paying $200. I'm still just paying the 150.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then the spring and fall
July
make up
and
for
August.
It. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and then March, April, and part of May, and like September, October kind of make up for it by like those things just not running at all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. See, I like just having that seemingly little bit of extra money each month, even though it doesn't really. But like,
honestly, you have the extra money by doing the equal pay and not fucking yourself in the 4 months of the year where the bill gets ridiculous.
Oh yeah, I know. Like, we'll see how things go this year with the new system and air conditioning. I'm hoping that really helps out that, because last year at one point my bill was $350 in July or August.
You should look at that equal payment plan just because your house has such bad insulation, mm-hmm, that it's always going to creep up higher for you, but yeah. You could make it, rather than, like, you having those, like, 2 months a year where, like, you're only paying 70, like, it'll just be every month you'll pay, like, 160 or something like that. And that'll be way better than, like you said, having that month in July where it's suddenly $300 fucking.
Yeah, it's insane, but we'll see how things go this year. As I think about whatever,
but things
might change in my house throughout this year.
Are you going to be alone again?
Potentially. I mean, I don't know how long married people want to live in their house with their brother and brother-in-law.
Well, have you started getting weird about it and like knocking on their door, telling them to stop doing shit, even when you know they're not?
No, I haven't done that yet.
That would be funny, especially like if you're down, because their bedroom's above the living room, right? Ish.
Yes. Yes.
So, like, get, like, the broom and just randomly at night just start, like, hitting the ceiling and be like, keep it down up there!
You were mocking me 10 minutes ago, not even, like, 4 minutes ago, about being a sitcom, and now you want me to be a sitcom.
I mean, like, you might as well just lean in harder to what you already are.
Oh, yeah, I definitely would. And do.
But don't you have, like, drop ceiling tiles in your
living? Oh, that's right, I forgot about that.
Well, it's not, like... it's not like the office drops. It is like ceiling tiles.
Oh, but there's nothing above them. It's like, right? Like you can't push them up.
No, I can't push them up. They're like stapled in.
That's the upstairs of my parents' house is like that. Like the center of it, it looks like tiles you could push up and like move out of the way, but you can't. They're in place. You'd actually have to pry them to get them out.
Weird.
Yeah, it's definitely like an old like 60s or 70s thing.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of like popcorn ceiling and shag carpet.
Oh yeah, absolutely. which is why I have carpet on my wall.
Wait, really?
Well, it's not really on the wall. It's like it is on the wall, but like where my stairs are, you probably have never noticed it. Where my stairs are, there's a strip of wall that goes up to the ceiling, like next to the stairs, that has carpet going up it.
Oh yeah, I've never noticed that. But you also have wood paneling, so.
Yeah, I have wood paneling. So it's like, it's where, like, the back of my living room is that meets the steps. It's just, there's just carpet up it for some reason. I don't know. But, like, it's also, like, Eric's house is so old, his kitchen has carpet under their kitchen tile.
Does it really?
Because it's just something they used to do back in the day.
I mean, kitchens used to have carpet, yeah, but I didn't realize he had the carpet under the tile. That's funny.
It's just there's carpet under the tile.
Oh, the things people did to their home.
Yeah.
Right.
Anyway, enough of that. So, Rich, I have really bad news for you.
Oh, yeah? What's that?
Deathloop has been delayed to September.
Fuck! I was really looking forward to Deathloop.
Good news, though. Good news. There's going to be at least 6 more chances for you to see them talk about it on various live streams.
This is true.
Just wait until you see the edits I made to the outline.
Wait, what edits did you make? I actually haven't scrolled through it again.
let's just keep going. Let's just keep going to the next step.
But yeah, so sorry about that. I know that's going to hurt you later on,
it hurts me. It hurts me so much.
Also, it's funny that this game that they've, because they really have, they have just drilled this fucking game into the ground that it's coming out. It was supposed to come out, I think, this month or next month. It was supposed to be out like within the next like handful of weeks. And I was like, no, it's going to come out in September. Sorry.
It's just, like, it's not going to be good, and now this is just, like, it's just, like, digging it in more and more that it's not going to be good. Their best bet, in my opinion, would be to give it away for free when it launches.
They might.
It's one of the last Bethesda games that is not exclusive to Microsoft. In fact, it's not even going onto a Microsoft platform.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, not sure if, like, Microsoft would just be like, ah, fuck it, or what?
Yeah.
It's possible, though. It's possible.
Yeah. Who knows?
So the other thing, just real quick, I played through the Kate Bishop stuff and a little bit of the Clint stuff.
Okay.
I actually like Kate. I think she was fun to play as.
She's very fun to play as.
Her, like, teleporting stuff along, I prefer her arrows over Clint's. I like the spread shot and just the regular, like, explodey arrow versus Clint's that's, like, the cluster that kind of fires slowly, or the manually detonating bombs.
Yeah, like, when it comes to playing as Clint, I'm more so, when I'm using him, using his, like, he has an ability where if you do a signature attack and then tap triangle, he then fires a bunch of arrows. That's generally what I'm doing with him. I'll do a signature, fire those bunch of arrows with a triangle that leads into another signature or something like that. Like, it's really, like, hold square, he fires an arrow, pulls enemies in, then keep tapping triangle and he'll fire these special arrows that home in. Like, that's the only ranged attacks I do with Clint. But with Kate, she's just, I'm constantly going back and forth between melee and using a bow and arrows.
Yeah, I really don't do melee with either of them all that much. I was definitely having to melee with Clint more because his arrows were just yet less useful.
Yeah.
But for Kate, like, unless I had to, I was basically ranged the whole time. And she's probably the only character that, Clint too, because really, like, they play the same. As far as, like, the attacks go. They're the only two characters that, like, their ranged attacks really feel good. Because, like, Black Widow is fine, it's just a gun, but you also have that reload bit with Black Widow. With both the Hawkeyes, it's just, you just have arrows. You just have unlimited arrows. You can just, you can just keep firing them. There's nothing stopping you from just firing them over and over and over again.
Yeah, but if you charge them, they're better and stronger and stuff like that.
Yeah, but, like, when you have, like, just, like, the hordes of robots coming at you, it's pretty easy to just, like, shoot them three times in the head and drop one.
Yeah.
But yeah, I thought Kate's, like, the story stuff for Kate was good. It wasn't anything groundbreaking, but I liked all of her interactions with, like, the Avengers and stuff, especially with Tony and, like, their bickering. Same with Clint. Like, I thought their interactions were good. When you played Clint, all of Clint's, right?
Yeah, I beat Clint's.
So I only played the opening mission, the In the Wasteland, and the one where you go to get Lucky.
Okay.
Did you have Kate with you when you went on that mission? To get Lucky?
Yeah, yeah. Right.
So, I'm curious what would have happened if you didn't bring her, because it wasn't required, and the only, the only character dialogue were between the two of them.
And she would have been on comms.
Oh, okay, that makes sense.
So, any time, because you can go into missions with any team, but if the mission has a dialogue leading into it with a character that's not on your team, they're just on comms.
Yeah, the other thing that I'm actually curious about is when you get to Clint's apartment on the roof, when AIM attacks, the cutscene very specifically shows you, like, Kate and Clint talking and, like, getting ready to fight, not and the other two people in your team. So I wonder if, like, they have a separate cutscene that if you don't bring Kate with you, that it just shows Clint there.
Are you sure it wasn't required to bring her? Like,
I'm positive because she was not selected for me initially. It was my initial lineup was like Cap, Iron Man, and Kamala, I think. And like I went in there and deselected Iron Man and selected Kate.
Okay, yeah, it automatically chose Kate for me. I didn't pick anybody. I just went into the mission.
Yeah, no, that was not the case for me, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. But it was fine. I appreciate that, the whole way through Clint's mission, like, in Brooklyn, he's just threatening these guys that if anything happened to his dog, he would fucking murder them.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I liked it. Clint's fun. He's a fun character, and I think he's a fun, to use as well.
I don't like any of his cosmetics. Like, his iconic one doesn't look like the Hawkeye's iconic outfit at all.
Yeah.
And most of them, it's his, like, Ultimate Universe look, where he's got the shaved head and kind of looks a little more military.
Yeah, I hate the shaved head, so I use, I don't even remember what I use on him, because I haven't played it in a while.
I only had the two options. I had, like, the Hawkeye comic, the comic look from the book called Hawkeye from, like, 2012, where it's, like, jeans and, like, a t-shirt with it's the purple t-shirt with the bullseye on it. Mm-hmm. I have that look, which is, like, his default starting look, and I have the second one you get with, like, the shaved head and, like, the body armor, and Ultimate Hawkeye was a different Hawkeye. Like, just 100% different. Like, that was the crazy Hawkeye that picked off his own fingernails and fucking flicked them at people to murder them.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that is not this Clint who, like, went chasing through Brooklyn to find his lost dog.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's fine. Like, both the Hawkeyes play all right. I like Kate better. So.
Yeah. I don't know. I think I lean a little bit more towards Clint, but they are both fun to play.
I think Clint's ultimate was a little bit better, like that
Yondu arrow.
Yeah, but I also have used Kate more so far because I played through all of her stuff. She also, for whatever reason, drops in her stuff must have just been better because she is now my strongest character after just that 2 hours of story mission.
Yeah, they probably did, like, push for those drops to be a lot more powerful because you were supposed to already have had more powerful gear.
That's true, because you figure the game came out in September, Kate came out in December, so they're assuming people played up to that point and would have at least one or two characters like level capped or something like that. Whereas I just kind of went right into it and have no desire to level cap any character. So, yeah, no, that makes more sense. I wasn't thinking about it that way. Did you guys watch the Nindy showcase from today?
I kind of scrolled through it real fast.
Like through the notes on the outline or like through the actual video?
Through the actual video.
Okay.
Like I would kind of skip over and do work when things didn't look that interesting.
I paid a little bit of attention to it, but I was doing stupid stuff with work, so I couldn't put my full attention into it.
All right. So I did. I watched the whole thing. I did have to pause it. I didn't watch it as it aired. I watched it later in the afternoon. I did have to pause it a few times. But, this is not a Nintendo Direct. So it's not like there was anything, like, groundbreaking. They didn't announce anything for, like, the Zelda anniversary, obviously. This was all just their indie partners.
Yeah.
But just to kind of run through the games real quick, I'll mention anything that looked interesting. Road 96 from Digix Art actually looked kind of neat. It's a narrative adventure game, but it's procedurally generated.
Yeah, when they started with that, I was just like, what the hell is this? And they kept going through like different scenarios, and it's like there's what 9,000 or something different scenarios.
Yeah, like I guess if you tried hard enough, you could probably play that game a different way every time.
Yeah.
Based on like whether like where you start, where you're going, why you're going there, how like what sort of people you meet along the way, like what answers you give to people about things, just a lot of different stuff can happen in it. But it's a cross country road trip.
Yeah,
is what it's being called. The little tagline on the GameSpot article I have open is the procedural story will have you meet colorful characters and sinister creeps as you make your way cross country, and it'll be out sometime this year.
Yeah, that was one of the more interesting things in the showcase was that one.
Yeah. And then they showed Aerial Knights Never Yield, which is it's a runner. So it's like one of those just auto run games.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The style looked pretty cool though.
Mm-hmm.
Like it had like a nice art style. It was like a 3D but it was 3D but 2D gameplay. I can't remember. There's a term for that and I can't think of it.
2.5D.
Is
that what you're thinking about?
Yeah, something along those lines is probably the best way to put it. It looked neat. I don't know that I would buy anything like that. Like that definitely seems more like a mobile game with ads than
yeah.
But you know, like
agree on the art style looking nice, but like it's a runner. Like
it's
a one button game. It seems
I've bought my fair share of runners for like pennies. Because, like, I had, like, the Nintendo Platinum Coins or whatever, and so I was like, alright, sure, and I'll use them for that. But that's, I would never put, not saying never, but I would most likely not put a lot of money into buying a game.
Yeah, I do, so I did think it was cool that the guy who, that created it, who goes by Aerial Knight, like, that's why the game is Aerial Knights Never Yield, So I forgot to mention this, before a lot of these games, they had, like, quick little intros, from the developers, which was nice.
Yeah.
Apparently this guy just like couldn't get into the games industry, so like he just made his own game to get into the games industry.
Yeah.
Which like that's awesome. Like good on him.
And it kind of pushes me to want to support him a little bit more. Like I kind of want to play the demo and if I really like it, I'll buy it.
Oh yeah, that is worth mentioning. There's a demo out now and the game's going to launch on Switch on May 19th.
Yeah.
So, then they showed Last Stop so they showed two Annapurna games, which they do a lot of those, like the story-based adventure games, where like there's not a lot of gameplay. A lot of their games end up either coming from mobile or being ported to mobile because it's just a lot of interaction with other characters and like moving around a world. Like there's not really like there's not gameplay to it so much as just experiencing it. Both of these looked fine though. The first one, Last Stop. It's a third-person adventure set in London, where you play three separate characters with different supernatural crises going on, and like their paths will apparently cross at some point.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other one was Hindsight, another narrative game around an older woman reminiscing about her family. You'll delve into her past memories and decisions that changed her life as objects serve as portals to her memory.
Yeah.
And I think both... So, Last Stop is coming in July, and Hindsight is coming later this year.
Yeah, I didn't actually catch these when I was like watching it. Like I must have not been paying attention when they showed these.
If you like those narrative sort of just here's an interactive story more than a game. They're probably very good. Like Annapurna does actually release really good stuff. It's just not for everybody.
Yeah.
Like they did Florence was like a big one from a couple years ago that they did.
Yeah.
So, you know. Then they showed Ali Ali World, which I know Ali Ali games are super popular. People really like them.
Yeah, I want to say one of them was on PS Plus at one point.
It definitely was.
And I wanted to like it more than I did. Though this thing looked pretty neat.
Yeah, you're looking for new skate spots and the mystical skate gods.
Yeah. I was like, the art style is pretty cool, and it's just like, it's a skate runner kind of thing, and I was just like, this is interesting. This is interesting. I might be able to get down with this.
Yeah, and the first two games were like more pixel art, and this one's more hand-drawn, so they did change the art style on them.
Mm-hmm.
And it's coming out this winter, so I think all but one game was actually due out this year, which is keeping with Nintendo. Like, Nintendo tends to not announce too many things too early.
Yeah.
Especially not like in like the Nindies and stuff like that. The next one was Longing, or The Longing, which this one seems actually kind of cool.
Yeah, it is. It's so weird. Like it's a game where you have to just wait 400 days and it's all real fucking time.
Yeah. So it's the tweet from Nintendo: as the last servant of a slumbering king whose powers have faded, it's your task to wait for the awakening for 400 days.
Yeah.
And it's real time. It is 400 real world days.
Yeah. One of the tags for either when they were showing it or somebody said it was, you don't have to play the game for 400 days, but don't leave him sitting there all that time.
Yeah, it was something like that.
Or like, you can beat the game without playing it. Like, I think you can like start a save and then never look at it, and 400 days later, open up that save and it should be good.
Probably. It's probably something like that. Because they did say it was something like you said, like, you can see the end of the game without waiting 400 days or something like that, or without playing for 400 days.
Without playing, yeah. And it's like, it is, like, when I was watching it, I was counting with the clock, and I was doing one Mississippi, two. It is real fucking time. It is, the game takes 400 days to play legitimately.
Yeah, and it's, it looks like almost like a sim. Like, you're just doing stuff. You're gathering, you're building, you're exploring. But you're in these underground caves, and I like the art style. Like, the art style is like this, like, hand-drawn, like, cartoony sort of thing.
Yeah, like, I'm definitely interested in it, but I don't see myself being able to just, like, stick with it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like, you're not gonna play for 400 days. Like,
no, like, and like, I could, like, alright, play once a week or whatever for a year, but I don't see myself sticking to that either. Like,
yeah, it's available now, though. And it's only $15.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that was one of the rare, it's out now sort of games.
Yeah.
But yeah, it says you'll fill the time by completing puzzles, exploring caves, and collecting items. So, there's stuff to do. It's not like you're literally just going to be wandering around, but 400 days is a long time.
I wasn't a fan of how slow the creature walked. That would probably be my biggest, like, worse than it having to be 400 days, is if that's how slow that character walks all the time, I won't be able to play it at all.
That's fair. Yeah, I completely understand that. The next one up was There Is No Game Wrong Dimension, which, Drew, I don't know if you remember this. They were actually, this was on one of the Game of the Year lists for Giant Bomb this past year. It's a mobile game, or it was a mobile game.
Okay.
Jeff was very into it, if I remember correctly. I forget what, I think it might have been like Best Experience or like one of those titles. It wasn't the actual GOTY title, though.
Gotcha.
But yeah, it's a point and click adventure where you solve puddles and riddles wrapped in
puddles and rizzles?
Yep, exactly.
Puddles and rizzles.
Yep. Puzzles and riddles wrapped in an experimental and very meta narrative structure. And it's actually on, you can also buy this on the Switch today. I was gonna say,
this looked pretty neat.
Yeah, and from what, like, they were saying on Giant Bomb about it, like, it actually sounded super cool. I did end up getting it on mobile, because I think it was, like, $1, and I had, like, the Google credits for it. But, I just never got around to playing it, because I just don't play a lot of phone games. I do not know if there's any updates or differences on the Switch version of it, but it is $12.99 on Switch, so It's cheaper to buy it on your phone, most likely. And then the best game they showed was Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Shredder's Revenge.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Yeah, that game looks fucking rad.
Yeah, I really wish they could have given us a date instead of just later this year.
Yeah.
Like, when it was on here, I'm just like, oh, they've been telling us dates for, or, like, at least, like, areas, windows for everything. And then they got to the end of this one, and it's just like, later this year. I'm like, fuck you. When this year? When? March? Yeah. April? Well, it's already, March is over. Like, June? July? October? When?
It's coming out March.
March of 2022. It's going to get, it's going to get delayed. Let's not pretend it's not going to get delayed.
Probably.
Yeah, this game just looks fantastic. I can't wait to get this game. And I'm excited it's going to be on Switch, because I feel like I'll play it more on Switch than I would have on, like, Xbox or PS5.
I honestly wouldn't get it unless it was on Switch. I don't think I would get it on PlayStation.
Really?
Yeah, it's one of those games that, like, to me is a, like, it's a handheld game. Like, it is a game that I would want to play a lot, but it's a game that I also want to have on in the background while I'm maybe doing other things, or, like, it's a game I'm always going to want to have around me. And that's, like, it's a Switch game, in my opinion. It's definitely a Switch game.
I get that. I have a very strong nostalgia for the Turtles, especially, like, that era, like, Turtles in Time and stuff like that. So I would have gotten this game no matter what.
Yeah. It's, like, it's the same thing with, like when I got Sonic Mania. Like, I got it for the Switch. I wasn't going to get it for other systems. I would have waited for it to come to Switch before for getting it on different.
Yeah, no, I get that. And, like, that was definitely the right console to play it on.
Yeah.
But I also would have been happy to play that game on anything, because it was a very good game.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's, and I'm definitely not trying to, like, knock anybody for getting it on anything else. Like, I also have it on PlayStation because it was PS Plus at one point. Mm-hmm. But, like, if I were to play it, I would grab it on my Switch more so than anything.
Yeah, which, again, like, that makes total sense.
Yeah.
The next one they showed was Chris Tales.
This looks interesting.
Yeah, I thought so too, especially during the, like, when they were explaining it, they mentioned something like, because you're a time mage, and you can apparently use your time powers to either age up or de-age your opponents to the point where they're easier to beat. So you could make, like, somebody, like, super old or super young and just fucking trounce them.
Yeah. And it has, like, an interesting art style as well.
Yeah, like, it's got, in my head, it reminds me a little bit of the Transistor, like, box art style.
Mm-hmm.
Like, not the actual game style, but, like, the cover art for the game. But it's been a long time since I've seen the Transistor poster, so I might be wrong.
I think I know what you're saying.
But I'm interested in this one, and it's going to be out July 20th, so it's actually not that far away. And there's a demo available right now.
Which I might check out for next.
Yeah, I might actually. That might be one of the demos I do actually download to check out. Then we had Getsu Fumiden, Undying Moon, which it's a 2D hack and slash. I don't know if either of you guys would agree, but I thought the style of this, not the gameplay or anything like that, but like just the aesthetic, like art style, looked a lot like Hades.
It's like a cross between Hades and Dead Cells.
Okay, I can see Dead Cells in there a little bit too. Like,
like it's the more traditional 2D, like Dead Cells was.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. It's just a lot of the stuff they were showing, I'm just like, that just looks, it's very vibrant and colorful, and like Hades was very vibrant and colorful.
Yeah. Yeah, I can definitely see what you're saying. And it has just like a very anime vibe to it, so I was digging it when I was seeing it.
Oh, so I didn't realize this. I'm actually reading this on this GameSpot article. So it's a roguelike. It's a game with roguelike elements and adopts a visual style similar to classic Japanese paintings. It's a successor to the original Getsu Fumiden, a cult classic for Famicom that was never released outside of Japan. Those who buy Undying Moon during its early access period starting May 13th will get a copy of the Famicom game as well. And the full game is not coming out till 2022.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. So that's actually kind of neat.
Yeah.
This next one I actually thought was actually kind of cool looking too. Aztec Forgotten Gods.
I feel like I've seen that one before.
It didn't look familiar to me, but it's like this weird mashup of like ancient like Aztec history, but in like this pseudo futuristic modern city.
I haven't seen this one then. I wasn't paying attention to it when they were shown.
Yeah, it says you'll traverse areas based on a high-tech Mesoamerican metropolis and uncover arm upgrades to help you discover ancient secrets. But yeah, it looks really neat, and you're going to be fighting, like, I guess, the gods that the Aztecs worshipped, which I don't know anything about that, so I can't even make a guess. But it did. It had like a neat style to it. I liked how it was this futuristic high-tech thing, but it looked like, you know, like the step pyramids and stuff like that that you always see from like Aztec ruins.
Yeah. The only Aztec god I know is Quetzalcoatl.
Oh, is that an Aztec god?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I didn't know that. I know that one too.
If I'm correct, that is like the head Aztec god.
I had to double check before I said anything. So I did Google Quetzalcoatl Aztec god, and it is a god. It's just, that's the only one I know, and that's because of Final Fantasy VIII, correct?
Yeah, that's like the first one you get.
Yes.
And then the next one, which is the second to last, like, full game they showed, Skull the Hero Slayer.
Mm-hmm.
Which it's a roguelike, if I remember what they said correctly. Where you're going to be running around killing heroes, it seems.
Yeah, there's like 90 different like abilities essentially, and you get them by killing the heroes and taking their heads.
Yeah, that's what I got. The thing is, because you're a skeleton.
Yeah.
You've played as the hero who slays 1,000 basic skeletons, and now it's the skeleton's turn to be the hero.
Yeah.
So yeah, you'll gain new powers by swapping between more than 90 skull heads, and it's coming to Switch this summer.
Yeah, it looks stupid, like, in that, like, Broforce kind of stupid, awesome kind of way.
Yeah.
That I'm definitely digging it because of that.
Yeah, and it didn't look like it's going to be overly complicated either. Like, I definitely think it's going to be more roguelite than roguelike.
Yeah.
But I could be wrong.
Yeah.
Then they did, like, a little montage, a bunch of stuff. None of those things really jumped out at me, though. Fez is apparently going to be available on the Switch as of today.
I think they announced that previously, but it's now available.
Okay. And then the last thing they showed, I'm actually excited for, Oxenfree 2 Lost Signals.
What they showed looked very interesting and weird, that it piqued my interest, but I really don't know anything about it besides what they showed.
So, I honestly, I played Oxenfree just long enough ago that I just don't really remember it. But it was like a cool puzzle story game. Where you're on, like, an island. I believe there was, like, a storm happening and, like, a bunch of supernatural things were also going on, involving, like, radio frequencies and weird portals and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. This one is apparently set 5 years later. And Riley, who I think was the character in the first one, is brought to her hometown to investigate mysterious radio frequencies that appear connected to supernatural events.
Yeah.
But I'm definitely excited to play another Oxenfree, because the first one was really good.
Okay.
And
I never played the first one, so.
That is also available on Switch, and if you like story-driven puzzle games, I recommend it.
I'll have to look into it.
Yeah, I think it's on the cheaper side. I think it's like $15 or something like that.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if it were. I would be surprised if it were more.
Yeah, like and it's been out long enough that I feel like that probably is the price for it.
Yeah.
But, yeah, those were all the games. I mentioned this at the top of it, but it's really nice, or not even really nice. This was just one more time where, like, you see these Nintendo streams versus the Sony stream, where the Sony ones just seem sterilized.
Yeah.
And then, like, these Nintendo ones just have, like, a little bit of, like, warmth and character to them.
Yeah.
It's not, like, this pseudo-robotic woman's voice explaining, like, the games. It's actual people that, while they're fake, like, enthusiastic, they're still pretending to be enthusiastic about it.
I mean, yeah. I was gonna say the presenters on, like, the Nintendo presenters on this sucked and were fucking terrible.
Oh yeah, because they were like super cheesy and just not very, like, believable in their enthusiasm. But
yeah, not at all.
But at least, like, they're pretending to be enthusiastic about games, whereas, like, all the Sony ones are just like these sterile, like, honestly, Sony's ones should just be an email. Sony should stop doing streams and just send emails.
I mean, I'll take the monotone, like, robotic, whatever, move on to the next game over the cheesy, fake, dumb, over-the-top bullshit that these people were. Like, they were so bad. Like, they were so bad it stuck out to me.
The Sony things didn't really stick out to me that much.
Like, on this, a few of the times I was like, ugh, these people are terrible. Why are they even there?
Yeah, I didn't catch that much of it. Like, I didn't take note of, like, the between segments of how good or bad their announcers were. But generally, I tend to just enjoy the Nintendo ones more, whereas the PlayStation ones are informative, and I get interested in the things they show, but I'm just like, alright, I as a consumer probably wouldn't watch this on my free time. I as a potential influencer have to watch this and am watching it. Whereas, like, Nintendo ones, I'm like, I'm all about watching this, and I'm interested in, like, this is more entertaining than what Sony is.
Yeah, Nintendo just seems like they're trying a little bit. Like, they're not always succeeding, but they're trying. And it was nice that they had, like, the indie developers to say something about their games.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Whereas, like, even when Sony's showing the indies, it like, unless it's, like, fuck, I can't think of the dude's name now. Lorne Lanning from fucking Oddworld. Like, they don't normally have anyone, like, involved in the games actually on there saying anything about them.
Mm-hmm.
But I digress. Lot of cool little indie games coming to Nintendo over the next 12 to 18 months, let's say.
Yeah.
And, like, so, most of them this year.
Yeah, it's, I love the purchase of the Switch just for indie games alone. Like, the indie games I'm definitely interested in. I like having that availability to bring them with me rather than have to bring a whole PC with me.
Same. And then, Rich, you played Pac-Man 99 that was, like, stealth released.
Yo, Pac-Man 99 is so fucking fun. Like, I said this about Tetris 99, and I said this about Mario 35, but, like, these games, the way they're doing these Battle Royale games, like, I'm upset that A, I didn't play Mario 35 more, and B, that it's no longer on the available. But, like, I really enjoy playing them, and so, yeah, I'll probably only play them for a day just to try them out, to talk about it on here, but it is just so goddamn fun to play. I got to third place once, and I was so proud of myself. But it's interesting how they do a Battle Royale Pac-Man. So, they have you, it's always the initial original stage.
Hey, Rich, can I interrupt you for just 1 second?
Sure.
I have to make a quick phone call. I just got a voicemail about some stuff that we're having done to the house. I'm going to mute myself. When you're done talking about Pac-Man, if I'm not back, though, just go right into the next stuff without me. I'll jump back in.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
Thanks.
All right. So, 3, 2. It's Pac-Man 99. Like, it's really interesting how they do this, because it's always the base stage.
Well, I mean, Pac-Man has one stage.
But they never, like, the stages never changed. Like, I remember at least a version of Pac-Man where, like, the further on you got, the stages might have changed.
I mean, maybe in, like, some later Pac-Man, but, like, Pac-Man and Miss Pac-Man, the map is the map.
Okay. So, like, it is the map, and it'll start off, and it's kind of random how the pellets are placed. You can either have a map that only has the power pellets. You can have a map that has only one quadrant is empty besides the power pellet. Okay. So you split it up into fours. One of the fours is empty besides the power pellet. Uh-huh. Or you can have a map that all the pellets are there, including the power pellets. Along the sides near the portals to the other side of the screen, mm-hmm. there are outlines of ghosts. And so what you have to do is eat all the pellets on each of your maps, besides the one that has just the four power pellets. If you eat all the pellets, you get a speed boost.
Okay.
If you eat the ghosts, the ghost outlines, it creates a train of ghosts, of a ghost. So it'll pick one of them, and if you eat all the ghost outlines, all of those will then go to that ghost. And so then when you go eat the power pellet, you have a line of 7, 8, 10 ghosts to eat. So you can then stack them up, and that's how you attack the other players, is by eating the ghosts. And so you build up a big a chain as you can, and then go after that chain and just eat them all. And you can send, like, 20. I think I've had, I think it said my highest chain is about 50 right now.
Damn.
Yeah. I'd have to go through it. But it's just, it's really cool because you played Tetris 99?
Yeah, I've played plenty of Tetris 99, and I played a handful of Mario 35.
Remember, he won a round of Tetris 99 at your house, like, the night it came out.
Right. It was his first match or whatever, and I'd been playing hours.
I don't think I won, but I think I came in third.
Yeah.
you got close enough.
You did better than I did after 5 hours in your first match.
I love Tetris, man.
So, in Tetris 99, if I remember correctly, I can't remember Mario 35, I didn't play that as much, but in Tetris 99, you had just the choice of who to attack. So you could attack either people that are attacking you, you could attack the people that have the most knockouts, randomly attack, or you can attack, like, somebody, you can attack the people who are closest to death or something like
that. Yeah.
I don't think there was another option. In Pac-Man, you have the options of who to attack, which are essentially the same. And then you have your power options on the other side. So, like, moving the stick up, down, left, and right selects who you attack, and then pressing, A, B, X, or Y selects, like, the powers that you have. So you can, you can hit, where's my controller so I can remember what the controllers look like. If you hit B, your power is speed, so you're always faster. If you hit A, you can power up your train, so you move a little bit slower, but your train can become bigger, and that's how I get my big combos.
Okay.
If you hit Y, it's just standard Pac-Man. And then X is power, which I don't really know what power does, besides it makes your timer for your power pellets shorter. So maybe if you have high power and you're eating, if you're set in power and you eat some ghosts, maybe your attacks are stronger. I really don't know how the power works. I really only use the train and the speed. And so what happens is as you eat the ghosts, they then get sent as outlines of Pac-Mans to the other maps that will then chase after that player's Pac-Man and slow them down to have the ghost catch them. Or at certain points you get red Pac-Mans that if they run into it, they die. If you eat a power pellet while you have a bunch of Pac-Man outlines, those Pac-Man outlines will disappear, but the red Pac-Man outlines will stay. In order to refill your stage, after eating all the pellets, you have to eat the piece of fruit in the middle of the level. And so that pops up after you eat half the pellets on the level. So you can just keep refilling and not getting your speed boost, but you keep getting those power pellets coming back. And to get rid of the red Pac-Mans, you eat the fruit, and they'll disappear. The red Pac-Mans will move as long as you're not on, will move unless you eat a power pellet, then they'll stop and stay right there. But if you run into them, you're dead. So you have to hope that you stop them in a spot where you don't have to get by.
Gotcha.
It is so fun and so ridiculous. I got to third within my first, like, couple of hours, and I was so happy. I'm like, I need to get to first. I was looking through the friggin', leaderboards, and people have played thousands and thousands of matches so far. Jeez. And have like 1500 wins and shit like that. The number one place I think is like over 1500 wins, and I'm like, this is, you people are crazy.
Wow. Right.
But they like, I'm gonna pull it up. Let me grab my Switch, 1 second. Let's turn this down, and I'm gonna load up Pac-Man 99. I have to close out of Monster Hunter and load up Pac-Man 99 to see the leaderboards. And it is bonkers how crazy people are with, like, how many games they've played. This game's been out for, what, maybe a week?
Has it even, like, been that long?
I don't know. Like, it was, what, Thursday when I sent you guys the post?
Thursday or Friday.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, I don't know how long this game has been out. But, like, people... Where's the leaderboards at? Record? There it is.
It's been out a week. It came out April 7th.
Okay. So, and the cool thing is, the free version just gives you the Battle Royale. Then you can pay, like, $10, and it gives you, like, computer versus and stuff like that. All right, so I was a little wrong, but the number one ranked player is rank level 88. It's just as you play, you get experience. They're rank 88. They have been Pac-Man champ for 450 times, and they have knocked out 3,368 players.
That's obnoxious.
The next closest player at number two has been Pac-Man champ 294 times and only knocked out 2,200 players. So it's 100 times less, or 100 less and 1,000 less than the champ themselves. It is.
Yeah, that's obnoxious.
Yeah. Like, if I go all the way down, the leaderboard only shows the top 99. And if I go all the way down to 99, it's, let's see. Oh no, it goes to 100. The rank 100 is rank 44. 89 wins, 739 knockouts. That's still insane. That's still bonkers to me.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
But it's just, it's such, like, I don't, it's just, like, such a fun and neat idea. I really liked the Tetris 99 when they did it, and I feel like they did very well with this one. So I've, let's see, my Pac-Man 99, my highest rank was 3, my most, total knockouts are 45, and what was the other knockouts and highest. So I've never won. So my highest rank is 3, and total knockouts are 45 in total. And that's after 52 matches. So can you imagine how many matches these other people have played? At least 400, obviously. And I've played 50.
Well, somebody needs to get better and play more.
It's so fun, but like, I've been occupied with other games, but it's like such a stupid fun game, and it's free. As long as you have, Switch Online, it's free. So you have no reason to not get it and try it out.
And I'm pretty sure this one doesn't have a death date the way Mario did.
Correct. As far as I know, it's there forever, just like Tetris was. And they did the same, treatment that Tetris did, whereas if you pay the $10, there's a couple of additional game modes, but you don't need to pay the $10.
Which, I like that. I like when you don't have to pay for it.
Exactly.
Let's see, what was next on here? Oh, right, all the Sony funness.
Yeah. Hey. You took out my thing.
Yeah, because I already had the thing on the outline.
No, but that's what I was saying. Wait until you see what I did to the outline.
Yeah, when you were talking, I saw it, so I deleted it.
Man.
We don't need to bring up things twice, especially things like that.
But it gets brought up at every major... whatever.
Exactly. Whatever. So the PS5 got its first major update today.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
I haven't been on my PS5 today, so...
Well, you have an update waiting for you. It's a big...
joy.
It's apparently a big one.
Wonderful.
So some of the things it's going to start allowing you to do on your PS5. You can now store PS5 games on a USB drive, which you could not do prior to this. So you can't play the games from the drive. You can only store them. But that's still a big deal because with how small that drive is, it fills up fairly quickly.
Yeah.
A 2 terabyte external drive, not that expensive anymore. Being able to just copy games over there and back when you want them, way quicker than downloading like a 100 gig game or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure.
It looks like some of the games will apparently actually update from the drive too. So, like, they'll still get updates because they're technically still installed on your system, which is nice.
Mm-hmm.
And then, depending on the publisher, some games you'll be able to... Or developer, not publisher. You'll be able to only move portions of it. So, IGN, in the article I was reading, used the example of a game having, like, campaign and multiplayer and being able to move the campaign to your external drive when you complete it, but keep the multiplayer portion on the system drive so that you can keep playing multiplayer, especially for games where you can't uninstall the single player component when you're done, or vice versa. Like if you download Call of Duty and it's 600 gigs and only 40 of that is the campaign, you can just push the multiplayer onto the external drive until you're ready for it and then pull it back when you're ready.
Yeah. So like 2 hours after you get the game.
I mean, those campaigns are usually at least 4. Let's be fair.
If you're good, you can play it without speedrunning for 2. Come on.
They're also adding some new HDMI option control stuff. There's going to be one touch play that will allow the PS5 to turn on the television and switch to the input, which most Sony TVs do already.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if either of you have that feature on your TVs as they stand.
I do not.
I do.
Okay. You have a new enough TV, so I thought yours might also. But yeah, like my... Every Sony TV I've ever had, like, my Sony console will turn it on when I turn on the console. Or if it's already on, it will switch to the input that the console is on. It's also going to have a power-off link that will set the PS5 in rest mode if you turn the television.
That's interesting. I like that.
I'm actually a little nervous about that one. I could see that going fucking poorly.
Well, yeah.
I mean, not that people should be turning off their televisions, but I could just see that going poorly, especially with some of the rest mode issues the PS5 was having.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess we'll see. And it's an option. Like, you can turn this on and off. It doesn't have to be on.
I'm interested how that one-touch play will work with, for instance, what's the word?
Splitter?
Remote play.
Oh. So, if it's anything like it is now, if I try to, like, remote play from, like, a Vita or my cell phone, it switches the input on the television.
Okay.
And then you just switch it back, and it's fine. But it still does switch it for the first thing.
Okay, so that's you might have to want to like turn that off in certain instances.
Yeah, exactly. Like there are definitely cases where you might not want it on.
Yeah.
They are also adding a cross-gen share play. So I don't know if you guys remember on the PS4 that was a big deal for Sony that you could like share your screen with a friend and even like pass them the controller virtually. Mm-hmm. So that they could, like, try the game out, or in certain cases, like, I think Far Cry 4 or 5 did it, where both of you could play at the same time.
Yeah.
With just one copy of the game.
Yeah.
That is part of PS5 also, but they've just made it cross-gen. So you can actually share your gameplay with a PS4 friend, and even let them try a game by passing them the virtual controller.
Interesting.
Yeah, so, like, if I still didn't have a PS5, like, one of you guys could technically, like, throw up, like, Astro's Playroom and, like, let me try it out from my home, essentially.
Yeah. So, I actually ran into a frustrating issue with that lack of cross-generation share play before, because the NHL Rewind that they put out with NHL 21, it was NHL 94, but with current rosters, it does not have online play, which is dumb to begin with, but on PlayStation had the workaround with the share play. So I was trying to play it with my brother one day, but he has a PS4 and I had a PS5, so we couldn't fucking do it.
Mm-hmm. Did you tell him to fucking stop living in the past and get a PS5?
I mean, I thought he wants to get one, but
it's not that easy. I know.
Yeah.
Oh man, that's a bummer though.
Maybe he should just get good and get one. Like, I think that's all you need to do.
I mean, for once, Richie's not wrong.
True.
They're also they're adding some audio options to it, so you'll be able to, at the system level, fucking disable in-game chat. Because right now, like prior to this patch, you have to do it game by game. Like the chat is just auto-enabled for every game.
Yeah.
And I just don't like that. I hate that happened. So I'm glad I can just go in and turn chat off, and it'll just never be there.
Mm-hmm.
A neat thing for you guys, because you guys actually both play games online with people and want to occasionally communicate with them, you'll be able to individually adjust other people's volumes. So if somebody's coming through too low or too high, you can actually adjust it yourself rather than asking them to, especially if it's only impacting you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's helpful.
Yeah. Yeah, I thought so too. They're adding preloading for game patches, but it's per developer. So probably first-party games will do it more than anyone else. But if a patch is going to be releasing on, like, a Tuesday, you can probably preload it, like, upwards of 3 or 4 days beforehand. Basically, once it's gone through through all the approvals it needs to actually go live.
Mm-hmm. So maybe, like, the patches that come out on midday on a Thursday will actually be preloaded before I even turn my system on.
Possible. Unlikely, but possible.
That's a thing. That's the thing that drives me the most nuts is the system runs an automatic update like in the middle of the night, but patches that come out on 2 or 3 o'clock in the afternoon, when you go to log on to play them, you still have to download them.
Yeah, but or 3 o'clock in the afternoon for us is 4 in the morning in Japan, where some of these games are coming from.
Yeah, but I'm talking like Avengers.
Square Enix is a Japanese company.
Yeah, but, look, I'm just saying. You. I'm just saying though, like it's frustrating that like the patch that's supposed to come out on the 14th isn't out until 3 o'clock on the 14th and 3 o'clock in the afternoon on the 14th, and I then have to download the patch before I can even play it because it doesn't just auto update the patch. It doesn't just constantly check for auto updates. It only checks at a certain time, and it's just frustrating. I've ran into times where I wanted to play over lunch and wasn't able to play games over lunch because of an update.
No, that is annoying. I agree. But, I mean, the problem is, even if it preloads, you still might not be able to get that patch active until it's actually released at 3 in the afternoon.
Which is fine. It just means I won't have to download it and play it when I want to play at 3.
That's true.
It'll already be downloaded and ready. And so when I go to play at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, I'll be able to just straight up play.
That's true, especially for, like, bigger patches that are going to take you 15, 20 minutes to download, if not longer.
Yeah, and then it's the PS5, so it's going to be longer. It's PlayStation. It's going to be longer.
See, I haven't played that many, like, games yet on the PS5, but I haven't had a lot of issues with patching yet.
I've had patches, like, especially Avengers, the patches that took half hour, 45 minutes, like, would take my entire lunch or most of my lunch, stuff like that.
You know what it is? I don't play that game all that often, so... Mm-hmm. Like, the games are, like, I'm playing it on the weekends, so the game's patched during the week, and it's just already there by the time I go to play it.
Yeah, exactly.
The most I have to do is restart the game if it was already running so that it can install.
Yeah.
Let's see, what else are they adding? There's going to be some trophy settings so that you can actually customize when it will save video clips and images of the trophy. Because I don't know if you guys noticed, but that shit will fill up your hard drive. I was actually clearing out some space the other day, and I had like 2 gigs worth of video clips from fucking trophies.
I have to go through that and check that.
Same.
Yeah, like, I was super annoyed when I saw it. I'm just like, I don't want to fucking end it. Because I didn't even know what it was at first. I'm like, why do I have all these video clips? I've never fucking hit the video clip button. And I'm looking at them, I'm like, oh, they're all fucking trophies. This is stupid, and I just deleted all of them. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of it was from when, and Rich, you had the same thing happen. When you upgrade Avengers, all of the trophies pop a second time.
Yeah.
So, like, I had to wait, like, 10 minutes for just all of the trophies to pop so that I could play and not be interrupted by it.
Yeah, yeah. It was pretty rough getting that Avengers PS5 update.
Yeah, I mean, it went smooth, but that whole, like, some of the trophy stuff that they're doing with the PS5 is just so stupid.
Yeah.
Like, I know people like trophies, and people are super into the fact that, like, they can take a PS4 game that has a PS5 upgrade and just open it up and import the save, and all of a sudden all their trophies pop, but, like, I don't need that. I don't care that much. Come on, now.
Like, I like the idea of, like, the picture or video when you get an achievement, but it or a trophy... But it should have, like, a deletion date. Like, it should have an auto-delete date. Like, if you got this trophy, like, in 2 weeks, it's going to delete itself.
Yeah, and you know what? It might, and it might have just been I had so many because I had all those trophies pop right after the thing. Like, back to back to back. But
yeah,
still, like, honestly, it should delete, like, that same night. Because, frankly, after you get the trophy, if you don't do something with that video right away, you're never going to.
Exactly. Like, the only time I ever wanted to get a video or image of a trophy was when I got the Monster Hunter World trophies and Platinum trophy. Because I did the easiest trophy last, and that was make a well-done steak. And I thought it was funny. And I just wanted to get that video of me getting the Platinum, the well-done steak and the Platinum trophy back-to-back.
Which is fair. The last thing I actually have noted on here is, they're enhancing, they've enabled, like, enhanced support for HDR and 120 hertz, displays, which, Drew, I believe your TV is 120 hertz, isn't it?
Sure is.
So games should look better for you now. So fuck you.
Yeah. I'll have to take a look at that once, I actually go update.
Yeah, there's no improvements for variable refresh. So, like, for people using, like, high-end computer monitors, they're not going to get all the fanciness they could have, but still, like...
Or super high-end televisions.
Does your TV have variable refresh?
Fuck yes, it does.
Well, fuck you, then. My TV's 6 years old. I'm glad it's 4K. Richie's is, like, a decade old. I'm surprised it doesn't have a tube in the back of it.
No, my TV is only 5.5 years, 5, 6...
Oh, I thought it was older than that for some reason.
No, this TV was bought when I moved into this house 7 years.
Yeah, I was going to say, you've been in that house longer than 5 years now.
It was bought when I moved in because it was bought for my grandfather because he needed a bigger TV. Because he did have an old, essentially, tube TV.
Nice.
He had a CRD or whatever.
A CRT?
CRT, yeah.
I mean, that is a tube television.
But, it was like the...
Like, the T stands for tube.
Okay, so he had a TV that wasn't a flat screen.
Yeah, so...
Yeah, that would be the CRT.
Yeah, it's cathode ray tube.
Okay. I don't know tech. You guys know.
Yeah. That's why if you ever look inside of it, it's like this weird, like, funnel thing that kind of...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which I think I still have 2 or 3 of them sitting up in my spare, in my small bedroom.
I mean, honestly, those things are great for old consoles.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're great for old consoles, but it's also, I don't know... Because you're supposed to get rid of them a certain way. You're not supposed to put them in the trash. And so I never got around to actually... bringing them to where you're supposed to bring them to throw them out.
You just have to take them to, like, an electronic recycling place. Like, yeah. Staples will do it for free.
Okay.
I've taken a lot of computer stuff there for clients.
Yeah, I've got a bunch of stuff from my old job that I want to bring there too, because I'm probably never going to use them, or at least my sister's stuff that she's probably never. I might keep mine, but her stuff she's never going to use it. That I want to bring it to Staples, just get rid of it.
Yeah, I've literally rolled in there with carts full of shit. I'm just like, here you go. Like, you guys still recycle this stuff, right? And they're like, yeah, we need you to sign some paperwork for, like, hard drives. I'm like, there aren't any hard drives in here. Have fun. And I just leave.
Yeah. Yeah, I have, my monitors, keyboards, and mouse. My monitors, keyboard, and mouse from my first job, from my previous job before they went under and I was rehired through this place. They didn't want them. They only wanted the computers, the PCs themselves. So, like... When I sent them back, I sent just back the PC. And so I have four monitors just sitting around my house.
I mean, are they decent monitors or are they shitty?
Nah, they're not good. They're stupid, shitty Dells.
I mean, Dell monitors are actually
aren't
bad. Dells
are pretty good.
They're like, they're office Dells, though. They're not like fancy Dells. They're just, I think one of them, the coloration was pretty wonky on mine, and it's just, I don't think they're good. They're small, they're square,
No, if they're square, then they're useless. But yeah, like, I buy Dells exclusively for all my clients, and they're not even like super expensive Dells, and they're really nice monitors.
The only thing I'm thinking of is keeping one of them for my desk so that when I do get a good enough PC, I can just use that as like my like other monitor while I play stuff on this one and use it as like a like look stuff up or have like my webcam stuff, like my Discord and stuff on there. So like if I'm playing D&D, I can put Discord over there or whatever. Video chat I'm using while playing the games on my main.
Yeah, like I've got four monitors in front of me right now. It's great.
Man, I just have one.
I'm debating having a really fucking stupid setup once I get my new PC. Like, I'm probably buying a 43-inch TV to mount on the wall, and then I'm highly considering buying like a 27-inch monitor to have for like when my brother and his friends want to play, like, Counter-Strike, and I actually give a shit about the frame rate, and just crank that, have something with, like, 144 hertz monitor.
You're just going crazy now.
I kind of... Listen, if the fucking OLEDs weren't $1,500, I would consider just buying another fucking OLED and wall-mounting an OLED back here, and then being done, just solving both problems.
Yeah, I just sent you guys a picture that almost has all four of the screens in it. I couldn't actually get them all in there because they're spread out too much.
I mean, you can see that all if you have four.
Yeah.
You just, the one is cut off. All two are cut off.
But it works.
I just, my main setup, my home setup is just the one. I want to get a second one, but the way my desk is set up, I have this shelf on it that has my monitor, and I don't really have the space for another one, not even on that little shelf that was built, unless I build it out a little.
Yeah. I drilled a hole in my desk and got like monitor arms and mounted it to there and then put my monitors on monitor arms so that I would have like the desk space back essentially. And it's a mess right now. Like I have a bunch of clutter on here, but then I have my MacBook is just like on a little riser that is open underneath of it. So I have space under there still. And then the other laptop is like my work laptop. It just sits on a shelf next to me. Like it's usually closed and I just remote desktop into it if I need it. Fuck that little Dell. I mean, it's great for like I record to it. That's what I record through.
Yeah,
and it's good for that. Anyway, though, I don't know if you guys have ever heard of this game. There was this little game on PS3 called The Last of Us.
No, what is that one about?
No, it must be an indie studio.
It's about like the apocalypse. The world ends. Everyone grows fungus on their faces. A man and a little girl travel across the country to try and like cure humanity, and they fail.
It sounds terrible. Sounds like the sequel is going to have some shitty type of like trans situation in it, and fuck that game, right?
No, not at all. But yeah, so The Last of Us, Sony is considering making a remake of a game from 2013 that has already been updated to a new console once.
Yeah. I'm wondering, like, I saw this. I didn't read it and I wanted to. Because, like, what's going through my mind is, are they remaking it, or are they just done with the Ellie Joel story, and so the next game's just going to be called Last of Us again?
No, it's
with,
a remake.
Like, a different story.
So the Bloomberg article actually said that they were originally trying to make to remake the original Uncharted, but it was going to take too much time and money because that game is so much older that, like, everything has to be redone. Kind of like Final Fantasy VII. Like it would be like a ground up remake.
Yeah.
So they instead pivoted to The Last of Us because under Jim Ryan, Sony seems to be afraid to do anything different or new, and they're just going to keep milking the same horses until they're fucking dehydrated and dead.
Yeah.
Like Sony just keeps making a bunch of bad decisions over the last few months, and this is just one more of them.
Yeah.
But. Yeah.
Yeah, like when they delayed Deathloop, like that's just
That's Bethesda.
Shh.
Credit where credit is due. Bethesda is also a little bit of a disaster.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
But yeah, like, I've seen a lot of stuff online where, like, people are super, like, down on this. Like, they don't want a fucking remake of The Last of Us. They want new games, they want new IPs, they want new experiences. Yeah. Like, they
Like I said, I'll take a The Last of Us, or Last of Us, take the out, so it shows that it's a different game.
What is this, Fast and Furious?
Yeah. I mean, you kind of have to do something like that. Like, Two Last Two of Us, or something like that.
And then Will Smith comes out and starts singing the song.
But it's T-O-O last. It's two last.
No, it's numeral
two. T-W-O. No, it's T-O-O last, number two of us. And I would not have a problem with, like, a new Last of Us game where it doesn't follow Ellie. Like, have a new main character, because for the most part, her story's over. The way they ended Last of Us 2, her story's over. There's no reason to have another story for her. Like, they could have continued it if they didn't end it the way they did. The way they ended it, her story's done. So yeah, remake Last of Us, but it's not a remake, it's just a successor.
Yeah, but frankly, from the way everything has looked, Sony leadership seems to be afraid to take any sort of risks anymore.
Yeah.
They did really well in the PS4 era by taking risks. Like, they went with new IP in that era. I mean, like, they still had games that weren't new IP, but, like, even God of War, it was an existing IP, but they put a totally different take on it. Like, they made that a different game than what God of War was.
Yeah, exactly.
But, like, they also had a lot of indies and smaller games, and even from their first-party studios, they had smaller games. Like, you figure, like, the PS4 was really where they had a lot of stuff, like, from, like Journey, and I think Journey was PS3, but I feel like it was bigger on PS4. And now it's just like, oh no, we're just gonna keep remaking our existing catalog over and over again because we don't know what else to do, because the guy in charge literally doesn't know what a fucking video game is.
Sony, you have a great system, you have a bad business model.
And it's a shame. Like, Xbox really is doing much better, and I feel like it's because their leadership actually knows what a video game is and, like, enjoys video games.
Mm-hmm.
But they just don't have the catalog of games to back up what they're doing.
Yeah.
Like, the only franchises that Xbox is known for are Halo and fucking Gears of War at this point, and Forza, mm-hmm. I guess.
Yeah.
Like, whereas, like, Sony at least has, like, a pretty deep catalog of IP that they just don't use, but they have it.
Mm-hmm.
And really, like, if Microsoft can, like, make some moves and actually get all these studios they purchased to start pumping out, like, quality AAA games, like, they will start competing hard with Sony.
Yeah.
But, yeah. As part of all that Last of Us stuff in the Bloomberg article, they also revealed that apparently Days Gone 2 was just rejected by Sony.
Not surprised.
So
the game didn't do good?
It didn't do bad, though.
Like, yeah, it apparently sold better than, like, the critical response.
Yeah, like, critically, it's a 71 on Metacritic. User, though, it's 8.3. Like, people really liked that game. It has a pretty deep fan base. And, like, it definitely sold enough to warrant a sequel. Sony Bend pitched it in 2019 after the first game released, and Sony just rejected it and instead wants Bend to go back to making Naughty Dog properties. So they are working on, apparently, the multiplayer for The Last of Us 2 that was supposed to be, like, a separate game. And a new Uncharted project.
Yeah.
Which is, like, cool. Nobody wants another Uncharted. Like, no. Uncharted 4 wrapped up the story. That was good enough. Give us something different.
I could go for an Uncharted, but, like, again, it'd be, like, a successor type thing. It doesn't have to be Nathan Drake. It could be his daughter.
I mean, honestly, like, The Lost Legacies was actually a very good Uncharted game. But, like, do something different. Fucking, like, and I realized Days Gone 2 would have been a sequel. But it sounds like they were trying to make it, like, a bigger game. Like, it was supposed to be, like, a shared universe or something like that.
Yeah.
Like, it sounded interesting.
And at least it wasn't a sequel in a game franchise that already has 6 entries in it.
Yeah, it's not a decade-old franchise. It's like, oh, this franchise is still a baby. Like, let's flesh it out a little bit before... Like, give Bend a chance to really, like, stretch their legs. Like, this was, like, the first game that they had done that was their own IP, maybe ever?
Yeah.
Because I know they worked on, like, the PS Vita Uncharted games before that. And I forget what they did before that. But, like, they don't have a deep catalog to, like, fall back on. And now they're just being basically made a support studio.
Yeah.
And, like, that's stupid. That's very stupid. Did you really add Deathloop again, you son of a bitch? Man, that's it. We're not talking about Outriders anymore.
No?
No, go. I'm kidding.
Should I delete the time that I added Deathloop right before we talk about Kaiju this week as well?
Did you really? Yeah, you did. Man, you don't even space it out on the outline right. You're no. The worst.
It was a joke. I did it all as we were introing. I added it 3 times.
You know what's funny? I scrolled through the outline, did not see any of them until we got down to Pac-Man 99, and that's when I saw the first one.
Yeah. Yeah.
But go ahead. Talk about Outriders and how you finished it.
Yeah. So I beat Outriders. And that game built up such good lore. And this shit is, like, kind of frustrating how just weak it was at the end.
I mean, based on what I played in the demo, that doesn't surprise me.
So, like, they built up this whole lore of, like, they, like, Earth is dying, they're going to this new planet called Enoch, there's a strange signal being broadcast, mm-hmm. like, there's this anomaly happening, blah, blah, blah. And, like, as you play, you start to understand a little bit of the world Enoch, and you don't really learn much of the anomaly, but you do learn that, like, there was a group of people that had the anomaly under control, but it wasn't until a little bit more recent that the anomaly started to go haywire because something happened to these groups of people, these aliens, essentially. Where then you find out, like, there is a group of, like, Earth-looking machinery, tanks, and bases on the outskirts beyond where you landed, and beyond the forest that you start the full game in when you don't even have your powers, that, like, had been sitting there since before you even landed, so it's weird. And then I'm like, oh, well, maybe they did some time travel shit. Maybe that's what the anomaly is. Like, maybe, because they talk about how there were supposed to be 2 ships coming to Enoch, but one of them blew up as it was taking off. The engines blew up. And you even see in one of the cutscenes, because one of the characters was on that ship, they were able to escape, and because they were able to escape, they got free entry onto the new ship. And so, like, it's like, oh, well, maybe, like, the ship, the engine's blowing actually was, like, maybe, like, it was, like, a subspace engine turned it into time travel type of thing. No. No. You find out it is humans from Earth that left Earth after you, but just created a faster engine and got to Enoch before you. Are you fucking kidding me? Are you fucking kidding me? So you and everyone on your ship was in stasis for 80 years or something like that? But these people, 20 years after you left, built a faster ship. And instead of just catching up to your ship and being like, hey, we built a faster ship, we're gonna go first, they just go to the planet and then start all these issues. They're the reason the anomaly is all fucked up. Because fuck humans, they're fucking assholes. And it's just like, oh, God, like, you built up all this good lore, and then it's just like, oh no, this is all because after you left Earth, Earth made a faster engine and got there faster than you. So it took you 80 years to get there, took them 20 years to make this engine, and they got there 20 years before you did. Fuck that. Like, I was so annoyed at that. But then it comes to the final boss. And let me tell you, fuck that final boss. Because it's, the game creates this mechanic of needing mobs and needing adds for health and healing. And I built my character out of needing to kill enemies. In order to be stronger, I need to kill enemies. I increase my attack power by 1,000, and it stacks 3 times. Every time, for 10 seconds, every time I kill an enemy while aiming down sights. I have better this and that when I'm closer to enemies. I heal when I kill enemies. The final boss is no fucking ads to start, so that I can't get closer, I can't get those boosts. And if you go to the final boss with all this stuff set up, you can't leave. You either have to kill the boss, or you have to, like, exit to lobby, go back into the game, and restart all those, the whole going to the end section.
Damn. That.
So you know what I did? I dropped my world tier to world tier 1. I didn't even have to reload my fucking weapon. Because I'm just not fucking doing it. And from what I hear, a lot of people are doing that. Because that boss sucks. He drops orbs that shoot, weapons at you. And it is next to impossible. You can interrupt that ability, but I had never been able to interrupt that ability whenever he was using it. So he drops two at a time and does that like every 10 seconds. You can kill these orbs, but the time it's going to take you to kill these orbs, he's going to do three other abilities, one of them that you can't dodge before even, and then cast that ability to drop two more orbs on. And so like that's single player. Multiplayer, he drops like five. So like you need to watch him and track him and be able to interrupt his ability, but he always gets off at least one of those orbs, even if you interrupt his ability. And it's just like, I was like, this is insane, because I can't heal. My entire loadout is made to fight other enemies.
There he is.
And, huh?
Your internet dropped out for a second there, so we lost you. But you were still recording on your end, so it'll be in there.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't know it cut out. My internet's been shitty lately. But, like, it's just, it's so obnoxious how they build out this entire, like, mechanic of having to fight enemies and kill enemies to heal and get better. And if you build your loadout around that, you're fucked with bosses. And then when it comes to endgame, it gets even worse. Because in order to do all of the endgame stuff and be at level cap, you need to be at world tier 15. And then you need to get to expedition level 15, which is easy. It's generally, you complete an expedition, you get a level up. But then you need 40,000 pod points or something like that, which you get like 100 per run. So if you're lucky, 40 run or 400 runs to get to the final mission in the end game content to do the true final mission. And guess what's back? The final fucking boss that you fought twice already in that fucking game.
Oh, that's funny.
And it another sucks, boss. But it's funny. And another boss that you fought earlier on in the fucking game that just like, and that was the biggest bullshit. The other boss, he's like this epic looking guy. Like he's a powered altered guy, and he like he uses fire. And when you're fighting him, when you get him down to zero HP, it just shows a cutscene where he just erupts in anger, and then you wake up like a day later. And they're like, oh yeah, this fortune teller was able to find you because they saw the feature and found you. And I'm just like, you guys had such good lore building and you kind of just threw it all away with this. It's frustrating. And like, I don't think I'm going to actually bother with the end game until they get all the patches fixed, because there is a current bug that if you play, crossplay enabled, you can, if you play multiplayer with other people with crossplay enabled, there is a bug that you could potentially lose all your equipment.
Oh, that sucks.
That how that bug is working?
That's what we can figure out. It seems to only happen when you're playing on crossplay. And it happened to Evan. Because here's how the fucking thing works. It loads you in naked and saves. And then goes into the fucking servers and finds your equipment and loads that in and saves. So there's a bug where you get dropped between the loading in and saving of being naked and being equipped.
That's really fucking stupid.
So they lock your character if that happens. You cannot play as that character. It won't let you play. And they said that we will give your, once we fix this, or your character is going to have all their everything back, all their equipment and everything. But the problem is the equipment has random stats, and they're not going to make sure you have the same stats on. So you lose that equipment, you just lose those hours of trying to find that specific equipment for that specific loadout.
Yeah, that is super stupid.
So Evan lost his equipment, he was like, I'm done. And we stopped for the day, and I was talking to him the other day, and I was like, dude, I'm not playing this game until they get that fixed, because you guys are the only two people I know that have it, that I can play it with. And I don't want to lose my shit. I want to try the end game, but it's not worth it until it's patched. And he was like, yeah, I'm the same. I'm not playing it again until it's patched and the next update or the first update comes out. Because it's not worth it.
Yeah, that's just all the way shitty.
Like overall, the game is fun and it has some really cool mechanics. And they started with some really interesting lore. But then, like, they just dropped the ball and the mechanics are still good. The health mechanic is really cool. But when you have boss fights that have no healing, it just... what the fuck? Like, it sucks.
Yeah.
It's like Outriders at this point, I'm not down that I bought it. I enjoyed what I played with it. I'm just let down about the ending, and I hope like at least the lore behind the anomaly and stuff can be built up. But for the most part, the game made me hate humans more than I already did.
Oh, that's a bummer.
Because what it is the native people of the planet were able to control the anomaly, and then the humans that somehow made a ship that can get there 60 years faster show up and think that they're causing the aliens are causing the anomaly, and so they enslave the aliens to stop them, where then the aliens use the anomaly powers to go feral to try to fight against the humans. And it's just like, there's no trying to understand the aliens. They're just humans taking over natives, because fucking humans, fucking white people.
Yeah, that's just, that is very stupid.
Yeah, it was just a major letdown. I just hope the lore can be built out better with their updates, but I don't think it's going to.
Yeah, I'm not going to put any stock into them making any lore better.
Yeah, it's like the gameplay is fun, minus the bosses. I was working on getting my world tier increased, and the best way to do that, the only way to do that, is to just play through the story again and play through all your original missions. So I started at a certain point and just started playing through, and one of the boss fights took me at least a half hour.
Ooh.
Because it's one of those boss fights that there are no ads, or there, at least the first half of the fight, there's no ads. But it's such a big boss, and he stands so far away, you don't get your close range bonus, and if you're using close range weapons, you're not dealing as much damage as you should. So, like, I was using a submachine gun and an assault rifle. So the submachine gun was doing 12 points of damage per hit because it was so far away, and the assault rifle was probably evening out at about 150 to 200, but it's still taking me forever. Whereas when the second part, as he's like closer to me, I'm doing 500-600 damage a hit with the assault rifle. And then I could double that to 1,000 if I use my special ability.
Which actually isn't bad.
No, it's not bad, but it's like, stop. Why make these mechanics of close range when you can't use them? Why make these mechanics of healing when you can't use them? Why make these mechanics of making yourself stronger by killing adds and not give adds or not give mobs? It is poor design in boss fights. I if that game were nothing but just the firefights and no boss fights, it probably would have been a much better game than what we got.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with that. I haven't played the game, yeah. But that seems, from between what you're saying and what I've heard about this game, that seems accurate.
The first time you fight the final boss, so you fight him twice throughout the game. Like, it's like third to last chapter, and then the last chapter, you fight him. First time you fight him, his first attack on you, no matter where you are, he goes across the map. He's using a fucking sword and can jump across the map with no problem. And when you generally are fighting him, when he's swinging his sword at you, there's no adds. There's not until he uses a specific move that he calls in adds. So the first half of the fight, you're sitting there having to dodge perfectly and shoot him when he's using specific moves, because otherwise you're not going to be able to actually hit him or stay alive if you try shooting him while he's attacking you. It's just boss mechanics in that game are terrible. Terrible.
Yeah, no, I mean, I get it.
Yeah.
Any last things you'd like to say about it?
No, I wish it ended better. I really do.
So I watched Willy's Wonderland.
That's that Nick Cage movie, right?
Yeah, it is.
Where he's like, he's a custodian at like Chuck E. Cheese or something like that.
Yeah, it's basically Five Nights at Freddy's, as far as I know about Five Nights at Freddy's.
Yeah.
Okay. So he's not even like a janitor. So in the credits, he is listed as the janitor. He has no name. He has no dialogue. Nicolas Cage is the star of this movie, does not say a single word.
How do you get Nicolas Cage to not say a single word? Come on now.
Like, oh, it was so good though.
He is, look, I love Nick Cage. I'm not going to say he's the greatest actor in the world or anything, but like, he is such a great actor. And especially, like, he is visually a good actor, but vocally, he's such a great actor. And how do you have someone like Nick Cage not have a single line?
Yep, not a single line in that whole movie. But yeah, it's basically, he gets duped into working overnight for one night at what is basically a haunted Chuck E. Cheese, where the animatronics come to life and murder anyone that's there. And it turns out he is a fucking badass, and none of these animatronics can kill him.
Mm-hmm.
He's also addicted to, like, this energy drink soda, it seems, which may be why he has, like, I don't want to say he has super strength, but he's definitely stronger than he should be.
Yeah.
But it's this great line between, like, a comedy and a horror and an action movie.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, a lot of stuff, like, you see it coming. There are a few things you don't quite expect, but it was overall just, it's like a 90-minute movie. And it was just, it was like a fun 90-minute ride. That just, there will never be a sequel. And yeah, it was just, it was good. It was really good. I don't want to give too much away because it'll spoil it. And it's a relatively new movie. You can rent it on Amazon for like $5 though.
Yeah, when I heard about it, I was like, I need to watch this. I forgot it came out, or it's been out, but I do really want to watch it, because it's just a ridiculous concept.
Dude, it's totally worth $5, dude. Like, it released, like, a month or two ago on Amazon in, like, that early access thing they're doing now,
mm-hmm.
where it was a $20 rental, and it was just one of those, it's like, I don't know if I want to rent this for $20, but I saw that it was down to $5, and I'm like, no, this sold. I will spend $5 to watch this.
Yeah, for sure.
And it was, honestly, like, having seen it, I probably would have been all right. Like, I would not have been angry if I had spent $20 on it. I'm glad I didn't. Mm-hmm. But I would not have been, like, walked away from that, like, fuck, I just wasted $20.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's just, it's stupid and goofy and fun. And for a movie that has Nicolas Cage not speaking at all, he was quite the character.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, definitely check that one out.
Yeah, that's awesome.
So I don't know if either of you guys remember, but a couple of years ago, they announced a live action Gundam movie was in development.
Mm-hmm.
It is now going to be coming to Netflix when it eventually gets made. Or nice. It's being made by Netflix and Legendary.
Nice.
So yeah, this was originally announced in 2018 at Anime Expo. And Legendary and Sunrise, the Japanese company that does the anime, are both involved with it. Jordan Vogt Roberts, who directed Kong Skull Island, just got announced this week or last week as the director. Mm-hmm. So he's going to be directing it. So he already... He made a movie with a giant thing in it already that was a pretty good movie. So,
yeah.
Hopefully he can do the same with a giant robot.
I'm sure he can.
What I had forgotten and was actually more exciting about this, Brian K. Vaughan is writing the screenplay for it and is acting as an executive producer. He's written a bunch of comics, including Runaways, Why the Last Man, and Saga, and was also a writer on Lost for like 2 seasons. So, like, He knows how to write good stories, because he was a writer on Lost in the early seasons before it kind of got weird. Well, it was always weird, but you guys know what I mean if you've seen Lost. So yeah, I saw that they announced the director, and I started reading up on this some more. I'm like, oh right, this was from a few years ago, but this actually looks like it could be decent if Netflix actually like puts a little money into it.
Mm-hmm.
Which I mean, like, they spent like $500 million for like the rights to the Knives Out sequel, so like hopefully they put a little extra money into a Gundam movie.
Yeah.
But who fucking knows? There's no info on, like, what the movie's going to be about or where it's going to be set. So whether it's going to be, like, a Universal Century movie and, like, a retelling of, like, the original story, or if it's just going to be, like, its own totally standalone thing is unknown. But still, maybe they'll do some weird, like meta thing where the giant Gundam that they recently built in Japan that actually can move on its own actually becomes like pilotable, you know, just something like over the top stupid.
Oh yeah. I'm sure they'll have some ridiculousness going on with that.
Yeah, most likely. Other than that though, I started watching Smallville.
Mm-hmm.
That show's not bad. It actually holds up pretty well.
Yeah, I only watched a handful of seasons, like 2 or 3 seasons, and I remembered it being pretty good.
Yeah, so probably before we started recording the podcast, because Erica and I were still at my parents' house. We watched like the first like 2 seasons and like a handful of episodes into the third. But it was like almost 10 years ago at this point. And after we finished Buffy and Angel, we were looking at like other old shows like on streaming services that were like longer just to like watch. And because we had liked Smallville, we just fell off of it. We decided to like go back and start over. We're on season 2 now, and like it's a decent show. Like for what they were doing and for the time, the music actually is really good in it. At least in these first seasons, it's a lot of late 90s, early 2000s, like, rock music. Like, a lot of, like, alternative rock and, like, some, like, pop punk stuff. But, like, songs you recognize.
Mm-hmm.
And like, especially songs that you haven't heard in probably 15 years, where you're like, oh shit, I remember that song.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's good. And frankly, like, Michael Rosenbaum was definitely one of the better Lex Luthers.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Which actually, speaking of him, I just found out he has a podcast. I feel like I might have known about this and just forgotten about it.
Yeah, I feel like I know about it. I just don't remember what it is.
It's called Inside of You. Mm-hmm. He basically, he interviews, like, celebrities for, like, an hour. But they're, like, super, like, candid. Like, they're just kind of, like, shooting the shit. Super funny, though. I've listened to, like, 3 or 4 episodes of them.
Nice.
Yeah, he's got a pretty fucking twisted sense of humor. So.
Yeah.
So it's a good time. But. Nice. Yeah. I was surprised that, like, I felt like Smallville would probably just not hold up well just because of what it was doing. But it actually does. Like, the special effects aren't bad in it. Some of the things don't quite make a ton of sense at this point, but...
Yeah.
How many episodes of Superman and Lois have you watched? Just the first one still?
Yeah. First or second one, whichever one. I think second.
God, you just suck so much.
Yeah, I know. I said I was going to watch them after Kong and Godzilla vs. Kong came out, and I haven't gotten around to it.
You've got 20 episodes of television just, like, sitting
there. I know. I've had a busy couple of weeks, like, this past weekend. Like, this weekend
coming
up.
There's a pandemic. You're not doing anything.
I had a fucking wedding 2 weeks ago. And then I had to, like, my mom still wanted us to come over last Sunday, and so I had to get stuff done. I've just been busy. Like, come on, man. I've been busy.
I'm busy, plus, too. I still watch it.
Plus, I was just more focused on, like, Outriders.
Whatever. But... Funny thing is, Superman and Lois definitely has the same catalyst, let's call it, going as Smallville.
Mm-hmm.
It's people getting powers from kryptonite, basically.
Okay.
In Smallville, that the first two seasons are like people that were somehow exposed to kryptonite during the meteor shower.
I remember one of them. It wasn't even he was exposed during the meteor shower. He went into a steam room, and one of the rocks was kryptonite.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So you had that one where, like, it was the football coach. Yeah. And he got, like, fire powers. Like, he became, like, a pyrokinetic person somehow. And, like, there was a one where the kid didn't have anything, and he was actually getting ready to commit suicide, and his bag had meteor rocks in it, and Clark saved him as they got struck by lightning, and it transferred the powers between them.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, pretty much everything revolves in these early seasons around kryptonite. There's only been one or two cases where, like, somebody had, like, some sort of weird ability and that wasn't the case.
Yeah.
But Superman and Lois has a very similar thing going on where people are getting these powers, like, or getting, like, semblance of powers. Like, one kid had super speed that he couldn't control. Another guy had heat vision that he couldn't control. And it was all coming from this yellow dust that they're finding, like, underneath Smallville in, like, a mine that I assume is supposed to be some form of kryptonite.
Yeah.
So I just thought that was funny because, you know, they're basically the same show. It's just, it's Clark in Smallville before he's Superman and Clark in Smallville after he's Superman.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, it's a pretty good show. I'm looking forward to getting further in when, like, Lex actually becomes a villain. Because, like, right now they're friends. Like... He's occasionally a little shady, but he doesn't seem like he's doing anything overtly sinister.
Yeah, they're close and friends for a good portion of the series, aren't they?
Like 3 or 4 seasons, I believe. I think it's like season 4 or 5 is where things start to go downhill.
Yeah.
It's funny though. One of the episodes of his podcast I listened to was actually him and Tom Welling talking,
mm-hmm.
and he says one thing. He's like. And it was something along the lines of, like, do you agree that the only reason that Lex became a villain was because Clark was an asshole and lied to him for their entire friendship? And, like, honestly, that's probably why, because, you know, 5 or 6 years of a dude, like, lying to you when you've, like, asked him flat out, like, a billion times, it's like, yeah, that might make you a little fucking angry.
Like lied about, like, having powers and being Superman, essentially?
Well, like, so in the very first episode... Clark saves Lex when Lex actually runs him over and off of a bridge in his Porsche.
Mm-hmm.
Lex gets the car out of, like, the river that it falls into and sees that, like, the roof has literally been peeled back.
Yeah.
And, like, he talks to Clark. He's like, I could have sworn I hit you. And he's like, would I be standing here if you hit me? I just jumped in after. I jumped out of the way and then dove in after you.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, just even up to season 2, like, other things have happened and it's like... It's always convenient that, like, nobody actually catches it. Like, they'll get knocked out just before Clark shows up or something.
See, I hate that trope. Like, because Supergirl did it with what's her name? With Luther's sister. Like, she got all upset because Kara kept lying to her and didn't tell her. No, like, I feel like people in the real world, if their friend had superpowers, would turn around and understand, oh, my friend has superpowers. They were not telling me the truth to keep me protected.
So, just the difference with Supergirl, though, is Kara acted like she was best friends with Lena. But then as Supergirl, she was always kind of mean and second-guessing her because she didn't trust her. So that is more what, like, Lena's problem was.
But Lena gave her reasons to not trust her.
No, exactly. But it's one of those, like, had they both just been honest up front, like, it probably would have saved them a whole bunch of issues. But, like, I understand why they weren't. But, like, with Smallville, like, Lex has a darkness to him. Like, his father's a piece of shit and treats him like shit.
Yeah.
So, like, he is definitely a little more devious than not. And I just imagine by, like, the time he breaks bad, I'm assuming all of Clark's friends know except for him. Because, like, his parents already know and his one friend, Pete, knows at this point in season two. I'm assuming at some point, Chloe, who is his other friend, and Lana find out. And then it's just Lex that doesn't know. And, like, to find that out, like, five seasons in, like, after being friends with somebody for 5 years and, like, them having just lied to you for that long, when, like, you've done nothing but offer to help them with stuff, like, I can kind of get why that would, like, upset somebody and somebody who's already kind of, like, on the cusp of being evil. Like, that's enough to push them over the edge.
Yeah.
But enough of that. You watched Godzilla versus Megaguirus? Gurious?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, close enough. Megaguirus.
Like I said, it sounds like one of your stupid fucking Monster Hunter monsters.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah, Godzilla versus Megaguirus. So this era seems to have nothing connected with each other. Like, none of the movies seem to connect with previous movies. Like,
isn't this only the second movie of this era?
And it did not connect with the previous one.
But the previous one, I'm just trying to remember. The previous one was another direct sequel to 1954, right? Like, it skips everything since 54 and acts like this is the next logical step.
I mean, no. I don't know. They don't actually directly acknowledge 54 in Godzilla, in
2000.
Godzilla 2000. They don't acknowledge 1954 at all. They never acknowledge that he died or that he was supposed to have died from the, oxygen destroyer. Like, they don't, it seems as if just Godzilla has been a staple in Japan for forever in Godzilla 2000. In this one, they acknowledge that he attacked in 54, but they never actually killed him with the oxygen destroyer. And then he has attacked Japan two other times since then prior to this movie. And each time was attacking like a nuclear power plant or an energy plant to get the energy from that plant. Apparently he just feeds on energy. Which, like, in the previous era, he fed on nuclear energy. That's what brought him to Japan. But in this one, it's just energy in general, not just nuclear. Because the second time he attacked in 1996, in Godzilla vs. Megaguirus, he attacked Tokyo to get plasma energy. Because Tokyo started working on plasma energy, for some reason. But, like, this movie is so weird because they create a black hole shooter, a weapon that can shoot black holes, and it's a weapon made to attack and kill Godzilla. They want to pull him into a black hole. And so they're testing of it. They fire it, but it opens like an alternate dimension door temporarily, which bugs come out of and then create the Megaguirus themselves. It was so weird. And, like, they completely written off everything before it, obviously. But they also written off the original by saying that it did happen but didn't because they didn't kill him. Like, it was better than Godzilla 2000, in my opinion. They didn't rely too much on CG, whereas Godzilla 2000 they did. And the Godzilla costume and the costume for Megaguirus, like, looked better than the costumes for the aliens in the previous one. At least I hated Godzilla 2000's Godzilla. Hated it. I thought it was the ugliest Godzilla so ever.
Are they still actual people in costumes, or is it like puppets or CG or anything like that yet?
They're still costumes.
Okay.
Yeah, I think even Godzilla, Shin Godzilla, for a few scenes is also a costume. And that one is the one that was made just before the Netflix films in the 2014.
Oh,
I think Shin Godzilla is like 2010. I have to look it up. But yeah, they stick with, costumes for Godzilla and for the monsters for the most part, at least up until, Godzilla Final Wars. I don't know. Godzilla Final Wars has so many monsters in it. I don't know if they're going to actually have, costumes for all the monsters. I know Zilla doesn't have a costume. I know Zilla is all CG, but I don't know about the rest.
And that's the 98 one, right?
No, Godzilla Final... Well, yeah, Zilla is 98 Godzilla that he fights in 2004 in Godzilla Final War. So yeah, 2016 is when Shin Godzilla came out, and I believe they still have a costume for that Godzilla for certain scenes. I'm not sure. I'm not 100% sure. I also haven't watched that one. But yeah, it was just... It was like weird. It wasn't bad. It was better than Godzilla 2000. And visually looked nicer and more solid. But it's just like these, all of these movies in this era, the Millennium era, just like are weird. Like I read off GMK, Godzilla, Mothra, King Ghidorah, Giant Monsters, All Out Attack, which is the next one. It came out in 2001. I read off like what like the basis of Godzilla is in that one, right? I think I read it to you guys.
I don't remember, to be honest with you.
He is, I want to see if I can find exactly where it says it. But he is basically the combination of World War II victims, the souls of World War II victims combined to become Godzilla. But like at the end of this one, they kill Godzilla by pulling him into a wormhole. At the end of the next one, from what I've heard and read, like he gets destroyed up to just his heart is left beating. But he's not green. He's like black charcoal color. He has no, like, his eyes are clouded over. He doesn't look like the normal Godzilla that you would see. Like, and he also has, like, more of a combined look between the current Millennium Godzilla and the original era Godzilla as well.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's just, like, these ones are all just, like, disconnected and just one-offs, one-shots. And, like, I'm interested to see what Godzilla against Mechagodzilla does with him. And if, yeah, in Godzilla vs. Godzilla against Mechagodzilla, which is 2 weeks from now, in 1999, 45 years after the original Godzilla's attack, Mazer Cannon technician is unable to kill a new member of Godzilla's species during her first fight. So the most recent attack is the most acknowledged attack is 1945.
Okay,
is a reboot that. Yeah, so Godzilla against Mechagodzilla is a reboot that ignores the events of every installment in the Godzilla film. So yeah, every one of these in the Millennial Era is essentially just a reboot because they just couldn't get a good funk with Godzilla in this era.
Yeah, which is a bummer because I feel like by the 2000s, you think they would have, like, I don't know, had their shit together after 50 years?
Yeah, the next one after that, Tokyo SOS, is the only one in this series that connects with the previous film.
Okay. Huh. Yeah.
And Final Wars is just its 50th anniversary, so it makes sense to just be like, ah, fuck it, throw all the monsters in. But yeah, this era's weird, and I'm not hating it, but I'm also not liking it. Like, I really liked the 90s era. It had some of the cooler monsters so far. The campiness of the original era was just the best, and this one is just, like, weird. It's weird because nothing fits together, and it's all just its own thing.
Yeah, because, like, at least with... Even though the last era, like, rebooted everything again for the most part, mm-hmm. It seemed like the stuff at least, like, had a... Sort of like a continuous plot line that sort of ran through them.
Yeah, every Godzilla had references to the previous one. They were still their own thing, but, like... In, I think it was, Mechagodzilla 2. Godzilla vs. Mechagodzilla 2, it had Baby Godzilla. Baby Godzilla was a little bit older in Godzilla vs. Space Godzilla, and a little bit older than that in Godzilla vs. Destoroyah.
And didn't he eventually become Godzilla?
At the end of Destoroyah, he basically becomes Godzilla. They reference the return of Godzilla in Godzilla vs. Biollante, as well as Godzilla vs. King Ghidorah. The only one that's kind of disconnected, but not fully, is Godzilla vs. Mothra. But even then, if I remember correctly, I think they do reference Mothra in Godzilla vs. Space Godzilla. So, like, they're all connected.
And then this one's just like, eh, nah, fuck it. They're just, they're all individual.
Yeah. This one is just like, Godzilla's gonna be the villain the entire time. Which is also, like, not my favorite concept, that Godzilla's a bad guy. I don't, like, in the original era, he was the bad guy for, like, the first, four films. And then after that, he started defending Earth. And then in this era, the Heisei era, he was essentially the bad guy, but, like, their main overall, like, he wasn't that terrible of a, he wasn't attacking for no reason. Like, he had reason. Whereas in these ones, it seems like he just has no reason and is just destroying to destroy.
Yeah, which is kind of a bummer when, like, they seem to, like, sort of do something different with it.
Yeah.
Also, that's crazy. I'm looking at the list of movies because I was copying down the name of next week so I didn't forget to later. Mm-hmm. There was more than a 10-year gap between movies, like in recent time.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
Final Wars, and then it's 2004, and then 2016 was Shin Godzilla.
Well, it was Final Wars in 2004, and then Godzilla in 2014, and then Shin Godzilla was the first Japanese one.
Well, that's what I meant Japanese movies, not the American ones.
Yeah, they went a long time, but I guess, like, they probably, because of selling the rights to Legendary, and then somehow were able to, like, share rights or whatever to be able to create Shin Godzilla.
Maybe. It was just even a longer gap than what they had between the original era and the second one, because that one was 75 to 84.
Yeah. It was the longest gap in a Japanese Godzilla movie, but it was originally supposed to be that Godzilla was supposed to be, like, a Toho-approved thing. That it's supposed to be canon within, like, the Godzilla hierarchy. So the Legendary Monster vs. Godzilla films are supposed to be part of Toho canon.
Okay.
But it's their own thing, if I remember correctly.
That's a little weird, but, like, all right.
Yeah. But, like, it's its own era. It's the Monsterverse era. Basically.
Yeah. Also, that the next movie title is a little obnoxious.
Oh, yeah. Godzilla, Mothra, King Ghidorah, Giant Monsters All Out Attack.
Like, you said it, and it just hadn't registered with me until I was, like, actually looking at it. I'm like,
yeah.
Okay.
It's GMK, Giant Monsters All Out Attack. Yes. It is obnoxious. It is the most obnoxious name of all the Godzillas. Because it's just, I don't know why they decided they had to have all the monsters listed in there. And it's not even all the monsters, because Barrigan's in it as well.
Oh, that's funny. The Wikipedia page does not mention that. It does say that. I missed that the first time I read it. Yeah, it says King Ghidorah, Mothra, and Barragon.
Yeah. Elderly man who explains to her the legend of the guardian monsters, Barragon, Mothra, and King Ghidorah. So apparently Barragon is, like, a big monster in this, but they don't add him. They don't have him. It's not Godzilla, Mothra, Barragon, King Ghidorah, Giant Monsters All Out Attack. It's just Godzilla, Mothra, King. But they're the three big names. No one knows Barragon.
Yeah, I was going to say, has Barragon been in anything else?
He has not been in a movie since Destroy All Monsters.
Oh, yeah, there he is.
Yeah, and that was 65, or no.
68, according to Wikipedia.
And he was originally introduced in Frankenstein Conquers the World in 1965.
Is that a Japanese movie?
I guess so.
I didn't know they were doing Frankenstein movies over there.
Apparently you can see his skull in Pacific Rim Uprising.
Oh.
I clicked onto his name, and that's what Wiki says. Like, 2018 Pacific Rim Uprising skull. Like, well, okay. He's not fully in, Final Wars. He's just stock footage. He has a cameo. But yeah, his first film is 1965, and next is Destroy All Monsters in 68.
Wow, that's a pretty big gap, 68 to 2000. One or two, or whatever.
I mean, there's a number of monsters that, like, have never really been seen beyond, like, Destroy All Monsters had, like, Kumonga, Manda, Gorosaurus, Varan, like, that have never been seen in anything besides just those.
Really?
Yeah, and it's like, the weird thing is, like, Kumonga, if I'm remembering correctly, is a spider? Because he was in Son of Godzilla. He's a giant spider, which drives me nuts that in Godzilla King of Monsters, the spider is Cilia and not Kumonga. Why not just name it Kumonga? Like, why call it Cilia?
Yeah, I was actually about to ask you, like, is it kind of like how King of the Monsters had, like, all those other titans at the end, and then none of them are ever named, and none of them appear in Kong vs. Godzilla, or Godzilla vs. Kong.
Yeah, exactly. Like, No, like, I had heard that Behemoth was supposed to have been in Godzilla vs. Kong, and he wasn't even in that. Like, but yeah, like, Behemoth, Methuselah, Cilia, the one Queen Muto that was still alive, like, none of them showed up in Godzilla vs. Kong. Rodan didn't show up. They mentioned a Mothra egg having had been found after, so, like, none of them are in Godzilla vs. Kong.
But yeah, like, I get Rodan because it kind of looked like they killed Rodan at the end, but...
No, he was still alive.
Oh, I thought it seemed like they killed him.
He bowed down to Godzilla after he killed Ghidorah.
Oh, I didn't catch that.
At the end, when he's bowing, they show Rodan, and they specifically show him, and he bows his head down.
Okay. Yeah, I totally missed that. I mean, by that point in the movie, I was pretty much done and checked out, so...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, it's Godzilla vs. Megaguirus. It's, better than Godzilla 2000. It's Godzilla 2000 is one of my lower tiered ones right now, so it's going to be hard to be worse than that, unless you're Godzilla vs. Kong.
The original.
And the original, well, it's Kong vs. Godzilla. I got to make sure to say Kong vs. Godzilla. What is it? Godzilla vs. Or no, what is it? Ebra, Horror of the Deep. God, Ebra was bad. Son of Godzilla was better than Ebra, and Son of Godzilla was stupid. But yeah,
you're like looking back on these movies. You're like, God, so many of these just sucked.
No, it's just like, well, it's not so many, but it, like, I am. I'm looking back. I'm like, Ebra was just bad. Hedorah was weird. Like, I didn't hate it, but it is still pretty low in my totem pole of.
Was that the one with like the heavy like pollution thing going on? Okay,
which a lot of them following Destroy All Monsters had very strong. Like, pollution and save the planet like vibes, but that one was just flat out the most 70s film I've ever watched. Pollution, save the planet, hippies. The monster was a sludge monster. Like, he was a radioactive sludge monster or something like that. It was just strange.
Yeah, that is a little weird.
Yeah. Yeah, so next week, Godzilla vs. Mothra, or not Godzilla vs. Godzilla, Mothra, King Ghidorah, giant monsters all at attack.
Featuring Barrigan.
Featuring Barrigan. And then after that, I only have seven more movies. But well, I might, like I said before, I might combine the Godzilla CG Netflix films all into 1 week.
Well, you could also go back and rewatch all of the King Kong movies. I was looking the other day. Most of them are on, like, HBO Max.
Yeah, but most of them are all just remakes.
No, a few of them are sequels.
I'm surprised Wiki won't link to...
Because there was, like, King Kong in 1930-something, followed by a sequel the same year. And then they remade it in, like, the 70s with a sequel, like, a few years later.
Yeah. I don't... Wow, there are a lot more Kong... Well, that's King Kong vs. 6, 9, 12... 12 films featuring King Kong. That includes Godzilla vs. Kong.
Yeah, like, you don't... I didn't realize how many there were either until I was looking at them. Like, oh, wow, there have been a lot more King Kong movies than I thought.
Oh, yeah.
It's just, it's been a really long time since there really was one. Like, there was the 2005 Peter Jackson one and Skull Island. But, like, other than those two, like, it had been, like, 30 years. Like, the 80s were, like, the last time.
Apparently, there was a Kong movie in 2006. Kong wasn't it Return to the Jungle?
Wasn't it, like, a cartoon or something? Because I know there was a cartoon on that list.
I don't know. I'm copying and pasting the title now. Oh, yeah, it is. It's a cartoon.
Which cartoons don't count.
No. Not fully, but sometime. But yeah.
But yeah. I'm assuming that's going to be a show.
Yeah, I think so.
Yep.
All right. Well, in that case, if you would like to find any more of our content, you can head over to www.one-quest.com. You can also help us out by supporting us at patreon.com/onequest. If you can't support us there with dollars, though, you can support us by going to your favorite podcast platform, like Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, all of those places. Rate us, review us, subscribe to us. All those things help a whole lot. You can also find us on social media, facebook.com/onequestonline or @one_quest on Instagram and Twitter. Our YouTube channel is youtube.com/onequestvideo, and you can always send us an email to social@one-quest.com. Otherwise, we will be back next week with something else to talk about. Thanks for listening. Bye.
Bye.